back to sleep, honey. Everything will be all right in the end.
For NPR Music, you're connected to All Songs Considered. I'm Bob Boylan. It's our year in review 2014. I'm here with Ann Powers. Actually, she's in Tuscaloosa, Alabama.
Roll Tide.
Hi, Ann. Stephen Thompson and Robin Hilton are here in Washington, D.C.
Hello, Bob.
Hey,
you
Bob.
Guys again?
I know. Every year.
And this begins NPR Music's year-end coverage for 2014. Over the course of the next few weeks, we'll be posting lists of our favorite music of the year. There'll be a top 50 albums list, a new player with hundreds of our favorite songs. I'll post my personal list of favorite albums and songs, and so will Stephen Thompson, Ann Powers, and Robin Hilton. And we'll also be asking you to vote for your favorite music of the year. We'll have a poll up online where you can pick up to 10 favorite records from 2014. All of this is meant to start a conversation about the music you love and hopefully learn about the music you might have missed. On this show, we'll talk about the year in music. How will you remember 2014? And let's start off by picking up where we left off last year, 2013. Stephen Thompson, lots of records came out this year, but one of them from 2013 ended up being kind of big in 2014.
Yeah, a lot of records that were big in 2013 were also big in 2014, particularly in pop music. The biggest hits of the year were like Happy by Pharrell and the Frozen soundtrack with Let It Go and the Beyoncé record, which actually came out on, I believe it was December 19th of last year and thus missed all of like every year-end package. You know, which makes it a tricky record to even put in a year-end lineup. But it's probably the record I listened to the most in 2014. It was you know, dropped online with no notice. It was a huge surprise. And often when that happens, people forget about it right away. The Beyoncé record really stuck with people, and it certainly stuck with me. I listened to it, you know, on and off all year.
So what do you want to play from?
I want to hear the song XO, which is just a perfectly soaring, beautiful, romantic, slightly fatalistic pop song of the variety that is like catnip to me.
Your love is bright as ever, even in the shadows. Baby, kiss me, kiss me, kiss me, kiss me, before they turn the lights out. Your heart is glowing, and I'm crashing into you. Baby, kiss me, before they turn the lights out. Before they turn the lights out, baby, love me lights out. In the darkest night, oh, I search through the crowd. Your face is all that I see. I give you everything, baby, love me lights out. Baby, love me lights out. You can turn my lights out.
It's the record that I've spent probably the most time with throughout 2014. It's a pop record that works on a number of levels and has an enormous amount to unpack.
And there were a lot of records, I think, that the crop from one year to the next. I was thinking of Courtney Barnett's record, and people are going to say, why is that not on your top whatever? And I mean, there were two EPs. They came out over the course of the last, what, year and a half or so. They repackaged them and put them out as an album this year. But she's got some new material I'm looking forward to, but let's just hear a minute of a little Courtney Barnett.
I got drunk and fell asleep atop the sheets, but luckily I left the heater on.
A I think 2015 is going to be Courtney Barnett's big year. She did a new song when she played Tiny Desk Concert earlier in the year. That's a hint of what it's like. I think it was called Depreston or something. It was like a song about a suburb in Australia.
Yeah, she was one of a lot of artists. I found, as I've been digging through my favorite songs of the year, I keep having to disqualify them because they came out in 2013. So like this Laura Stevenson record that I fell in love with, this pop band Royal Teeth, this band Stagbriar. You know, I do that Austin 100 every year. Yeah. And so many of the songs were 2013. I feel like that shadow has hung over a lot of the year.
We all went to a bunch of shows, some together. One of the shows, I think we could, just thinking about live concerts over the course of the year, and the St. Vincent show.
Oh, my God.
I think we can all agree that that was the best show of the year.
I'm with you.
Yeah, that was it was magnificent.
I got to see it twice. You saw it at least twice.
Three times.
And it was, nothing even came close of the shows that I saw.
Right. A fabulous mix of great playing by Annie Clark, right? So there's that. You just start there and end there, you'd be okay.
I think she's one of the great living guitarists. I mean, just point blank.
Yeah. And then the choreography, the some of which came out of the work she did with David Byrne and Annie B., the choreographer, that was magnificent. It never felt superfluous. It always felt purposeful. And that was pretty beautiful.
Yeah, I was telling Stephen, I was watching Bruno Mars on Saturday Night Live the other weekend, and I thought, you know, no matter what you think about the music, just when you get a show like that with all that great synchronized dancing, and putting on a show, really putting on a show, not just getting out there and playing the songs, but putting on a show, and she did that.
Yeah.
And also, she put on a show based around some of the absolutely best music that came out this year, so there's that, too.
Yeah,
I mean,
right.
Her album this year was, many people feel that it is the album of the year.
Certainly up there for me.
Yeah, me too.
Mine too.
Are we not going to play something, Bob?
How about we play something?
Because it's not quite as good as seeing her live, but you could do some dance moves while you're listening, and you could simulate the experience.
Okay, let's do that in this room, and you do that in Alabama. Let's listen to Birth and Reverse. St. Vincent. Oh, what an ordinary day. Take out the garbage, masturbate. I'm still holding for the laugh. The dogs will bark, so let them bark. The birds will cry. Good to hear.
A guitarist and who makes her guitar sound like anything but a guitar.
Yeah, she's an unbelievable player, but there are also these just terrific songs, unbelievably catchy songs. It's not just that it's one of the most artful records of the year, it's also one of the catchiest.
Other great shows, you'd mentioned a show by Sylvanesso.
Yeah, just one of my favorite records of the year, one of my favorite new bands of the year, Amelia Meath from Mountain Man, and Nick Sanborn from the band Megaphone, create this beautiful electropop sound with gorgeous evocative lyrics.
I saw them in February when this song that we're playing in the background, Coffee, came out, and it was, you know, that moment where a band, they're unknown, they play shows, there are 20 people in the room, there are 40 people in the room, there are 10 people in the room, and then they come to a show, and it happens at some point on a tour where the record comes out and it starts catching on. In this case, Sylvanesso came to DC9 in Washington, and they played to a sold-out crowd, which they hadn't done. And when this song came on, everybody was singing back the words to them, and the look on their face was magnificent. It was that moment you live for as a musician, to be recognized, to have the connection with an audience. They knew their music had made it.
Yeah. This particular song, Coffee, is there's so many great songs on this record, but this is the one that just gets under everyone's skin.
Listen to a few seconds of it.
Get up, get down, get up. Cinnamon's a singing with a pair of feet change. I know my words will dry up on the skin.
It is that successful match between organic and inorganic, the electronic and such a great singer. We are marching through, although slowly, the year in review. We're not covering everything. We're just looking at highlights, at moments that were important to us, and those lists that we'll put out of cover our backsides for the things we won't talk about here, because, I mean, what can you do? You know, it's a year's worth of stuff. We'll probably do an hour, hour and a half here. There were a lot in terms of trends and stuff. One of the things that Robin pointed out was albums with bigger ideas than usual, you know.
Well, a lot of full records. I think for the past few years I've been listening to a lot of songs, and this year I found that I listened to a lot of full records that were complete ideas with all of the songs connected to one another. And if we're in the first quarter of the year looking for, as we march through 2014, the first one I think of is the Sun Kill Moon record, Benji, which is quite possibly the most depressing record I've ever heard in my life.
I mean, and yet very funny at the same time. It's darkly humorous, at least to me, but maybe I'm just a sick person.
Yeah, Sea Kelp.
Probably, yeah.
Sea Kelp. No, it is. It's very dark, and there are some funny moments, and you know, and a lot of head scratchers through it. But, you know, literally someone dies in just about every track on that record. Somebody dies, Sun Kill Moons. And the one I want to play is...
And in the most some of the most impossible ways, if we play Carissa,
that's what I
want to
play. Carissa, it's like, it's the most unexpected way to go and otherwise the most mundane way
Mom
possible.
Mom goes out, put out the
and
trash,
true.
And the trash
yeah, I was gonna say,
can
it's
blows
a,
up.
It's
and,
a true story.
And not the first time it's happened in the family.
Wow. Which is even this Mark Kozlik's life is beyond.
Yeah.
It's beyond.
Yeah, here we go.
Let's listen to Carissa.
Pass the razor blade.
Oh, Carissa, when I first saw you, you were a lovely child. And the last time I saw you, you were 15 and pregnant and running wild. I remember wondering, could there be a light at the end of your tunnel? But I left Ohio then and pretty much forgotten all about you. I guess you were there some years ago at a family funeral. But you were one of so many relatives, I didn't know which one was you. Yesterday morning I woke up to so many 330 area code calls. I called my mom back and she was in tears and asked how to spoke to my father. Carissa burned to death last night in a freak accident fire. In her yard in Brewster, her daughter came home from a party and found her. Same way as my uncle, who was her grandfather. I never saw Cam blew up in the trash. Goddamn, what were the odds? She was just getting ready to go to her midnight shift as an RN in Wadsworth. And she vanished up in flames like that. But there had to be more to her life's worth. Everyone's grieving out of their minds, making arrangements and taking drugs. But I'm flying out there tomorrow because I need to give and get some hugs. Cause I got questions that I'd like to get answered. I may never get them,
It couldn't be more plain spoken poetry, right? I mean, he's literally just sitting you down and telling you the story and turning it into music. And he spares no one. I mean, toddlers die, teenagers die, the elderly die. I mean, every song, someone seems to die. And go ahead, Ann.
It's not just the big themes on this record that make it special, though. I think it's the tiny details. Like, this might be the only contemporary record, or maybe the only record ever, to mention Panera Bread in more than one song. and make it mean something.
Right, exactly. He takes these otherwise meaningless little moments in life, and they become touchstones for these grand universal ideas. And you know, I think there are a lot of records for me this year that I listened to in the same way. I think Damian Jurado's Brothers and Sisters of the Eternal Sun is one of them. That was one I spent a lot of time with, had a lot of great themes running through it, connecting all the songs together. And anyway, Sun Kill Moon, the Benji record, big one.
And you listen to the Hooray for the Riff Raff, one of your favorite records of the year.
Which goes beautifully with what Robin's talking about. And in fact, many of my favorite records of the year, Robert Ellis's Lights from the Chemical Plant, Jenny Lewis's The Voyager, Sturgill Simpson's Metamodern Sounds and Country Music, all did this thing of being whole albums that we could enter into, and they create a world for us. Hooray for the Riff Raff, the project headed by the wonderful Alinda Lee Segarra, is a band that I've been championing for a while, as you guys know. They put out their first record for ATO Records this year, and it's really the most fully realized of Alinda Lee's work yet. It's just a fantastic journey into American roots music, but with this very contemporary eye and ear that Alinda Lee Segarra has. And the song I wanted to feature is called The Body Electric. And in this, she takes on the entire history of the murder ballad and reclaims it for women, makes a feminist intervention into murder ballads, and says we just can't live with those anymore. It's a beautiful song. It's a political song. It's definitely one of my songs of the year.
Said you're gonna shoot me down, put my body in the river. Shoot me down, put my body in the river while the whole world sings. Sing it like a song. The whole world sings like there's nothing going wrong. He shot her down, he put her body in the river. He covered her up, but I went to get her and I said, my girl, what happened to you now? I said, my girl, we gotta stop it somehow. Sick and sad. Tell me what's a man with a rifle in his hand gonna do for a world that's all gone mad? He's gonna shoot me down, put my body in the river, cover me up with the leaves of September like an old sad song. You heard it all before. Gone, but I'm settling the score.
Great line, Delia's gone, but yeah. I'm settling the score.
I know, the intervention. I mean, like I said, she many women have actually, including like Gillian Welch and many women have taken on the murder ballad, but I can't recall a song where a woman reaches in and grabs it and changes what it can be, and that's what Alinda Lee does with this song.
It's brutal too. There's some brutal lines in that.
This whole record is terrific. It's one that's grown on me throughout the year too.
Great for the Riff Raff. The album's called Small Town Heroes, right?
Yes, yeah. Small Town Heroes.
One of the records that came out earlier in the year was the Beck record. Surprisingly wonderful, beautiful, that acoustic side of Beck that I dearly, dearly love. And that record at the top of the year was easily one of my very favorite records. And for me and for lots of people on the mid-year list, unlike the Hooray for the Riff Raff record that we just talked about, which grew on a lot of people over time, this one fell off. And I can't quite figure out why. Maybe because it was such a sleepy, beautiful record.
Right. It was kind of a February record.
That's a good point.
You know, and I think that you know, maybe people should revisit it as the weather grows ever more dismal.
Sometimes artists who we who we've loved for many releases, artists who are in their mid career or even later in their careers, we take them for granted. A late year example would be that TV on the Radio record. They haven't been around as long as Beck, but I think people kind of take them for granted too. So we have to kind of work to credit the people who deserve credit, even if they've been bringing us pleasure for a long time.
I think it's a good point. Let's listen to a little of the Beck record. I want to come back and talk about classic artists, or even, you know, artists been around on their sixth and eighth record, and can they make an impact? Let's listen to a little of Beck.
Woke up this morning, looked up this morning, sunrise is full of thought. Guns follow, they don't have no.
Morning Phase, the song is Morning, his dad with the orchestration in the background, yeah. So after a dozen records, can an artist, or even six records, can an artist be relevant? Can they make a mark?
I think so, absolutely, yes, absolutely they can. I think for me and Beck, I probably, next to the Beatles, I probably have more albums by a single artist, Beck records, than anyone else in my music collection. But I was thinking, listening to Morning Phase, that it's been a long time since he's really surprised me with anything. Sea Change might be the last time I was truly surprised when I heard a Beck record and thought, where did this come from? And that was 2002 when Sea Change came. And actually a very similar sounding record to Morning Phase. But, I mean, I can't think of a bad song he's written, but it's been a long time since he surprised me.
Well, and is surprise part of your expectation of an artist on his 12th or 14th or however many records?
Fair to an artist?
Is it fair? I mean, I don't know. Our attention spans are so short, and it's so tempting to focus always on what's new.
But there's such a pleasure to really diving into an artist's catalog and knowing an artist so well that you can catch the beautiful nuances. Like the Tori Amos record that came out this year, Unrepentant Geraldine's, it's not a shocker. She didn't make like a techno house record, but boy, within her catalog, it's a high point.
And had she made a techno house record, people would have really dumped on her,
right.
So there's not much winning.
What can I say? I'm hard to please. Hey, if you just throw in a few hand claps and you've got me.
Maybe it's slightly a different question I should be asking, which is that can a legacy artist or an artist who put out 6-7 records or more make an impact on someone who's 20 years old? Maybe that's a different
maybe
way
by having a media giant of some sort or a tech giant of some sort deposit that album in your music player whether you want it or not.
But that didn't work. Oh, I mean,
that's a brilliant idea, Stephen.
Full of genius. Over
people
here.
Would love that, I think. Yeah. Other records that came out, we mentioned Neil Young, Brian Eno, along with Tori Amos, Joe Henry. is another.
Yes. I will venture to say that I actually think this is a golden age for mid and late career artists to make.
For if golden not, age artists, yes.
It's a golden age for the golden age. And maybe not to have the kind of pop impact that you're implying, Bob, but to make albums that are really true to what they want to make. And the reason is the music industry has changed so much, and so many artists who might have hung on with major labels for a really long time and, you know, become lower and lower priorities for those labels and maybe been pushed into doing work they didn't want to do are now really controlling their own work in a wonderful way. And this 13th album by Joe Henry, one of my favorite singer-songwriters and sound stylists of all time. It's called Invisible Hour. It's a meditation on marriage, on life and death, all the big issues. It's one of those records that touches on jazz, touches on country, touches on folk, touches on soul. It's something only Joe Henry could have made, and he made it and released it himself. And maybe, you know, a lot of 18-year-olds didn't hear it. I wish some would listen to it, but it sure enriched my life.
I'm not sure an 18-year-old can hear this and appreciate on the same level that someone in the middle years of their life might.
Ooh, I think you're going to get some letters.
Well, I suppose. All I know is when I saw the song that Anne wanted to play here, it made my heart skip a beat.
What are we going to play, Sparrow?
Sparrow.
So glad I could do that.
Wasn't peace I wanted, so it wasn't peace I found. I wouldn't stand for reason, and it never would sit down. The bird upon my shoulder has not one kind thing to say. My eyes on the sparrow, but she looks the other way. Carry on and me away. Hey, look alive, the end of days. And our very blood tastes like honey now. Our very blood tastes like honey.
Okay, maybe appreciate's the wrong word. It won't resonate with them as
that's
much.
Good.
They might just not like it.
Yeah, that's Joe Henry.
As much.
But just check back in with it when the weight of the world has crushed your spirit.
But, I mean, the thing is, it is about Joe's own life. And he, you know, and his own, he's been married for 27 years. He's in his 50s, definitely enriched by his own experience. But also, it's enriched by his incredible knowledge, literary knowledge, and the richness of the references in these songs. I mean, His Eye Is on the Sparrow is one of the greatest gospel songs ever written. He interpolates that into this. There are other songs that seem to reference Melville and other, you know, there's a song that references the fiction writer Alice Munro. It just goes on and on. It's, I can just sink into this album for days, weeks on end.
It's some, and for as far along as he is in his career, I think this is the best poetry he's ever written.
I agree.
This deeply, deeply moving record. And, you know, it's funny, when I saw that you wanted to talk about Joe Henry and talk a little bit about art and age, I thought Joe Henry might tell you that he feels like he's still trying to, you know, like he's just starting out, you know, like he's still finding his groove in some ways.
And he's a young one in terms of the artists I love who are older this year. I mean, Robert Plant made an amazing record. Leonard Cohen, 80 years old.
Amazing.
Never go, Leonard. Never leave us.
We want that 90-year-old Leonard Cohen record because I want to hear a voice so subsonic that you almost don't hear it. It'll be the equivalent of John Cage's 433. Leonard Cohen's 90.
A slight wheeze.
A little hum. All you know is that your chest is vibrating a little bit. Yeah.
Speaking of vibrating chest, good old great guitar-based rock and roll. Do we hear enough of that this year, Stephen?
No, we did not.
All right. Next subject.
But I spent a good chunk, particularly of the early summer, looking for, you know, what is my, like, remember a couple of years ago that Japandroids record?
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
You know, where it's like rock and roll about being alive. And I feel like guitars in general have really slipped out of popular music somehow. I mean, I watched the MTV VMAs and there were almost no guitars the entire time. But I did bring a perfect 100-second rock and roll song by a band that I think Robin likes called Herzog. From the Cleveland area, they put out a record called Boys, and the first 100 seconds of this record is just one of my favorite moments in certainly one of my favorite moments in rock and roll in 2014. The song is called Full Stick.
Good night, Cleveland! Good night, Cleveland! You've been wonderful!
I feel like I just stepped out of the shower. That's like the mid-show palate cleanser, although we're actually only in the first quarter of the year. We got to move along.
I'm glad we fit a full song in there.
Yeah, that was fabulous.
I think it was a great year for guitar rock. I think of like the Spider Bags record. Did you spend any time with that? Nothing. Ty Siegel, the X-Hex record.
The X-Hex record is a good one. That's a good one.
Pujol, Fly Golden Eagle, all my favorite Nashville bands are punks.
We got Slater Kinney back this year.
That's right.
Yay!
And this group, this is the Bots. Young band.
Then what bet I make just to rest my head. Every day's a bummer and I just want it to end. Trying to find a diamond.
Bummer man.
So what you're saying is that not finding a lot of rock and roll, it's really my fault.
I think this is on you, Stephen.
Martha. What about Martha?
Oh, yeah, Martha.
Yeah. Cayetana.
Chump.
Well, I think we pretty well squashed that one.
Sorry, Stephen.
Thanks. You mentioned all the great punk bands in Nashville, but in Nashville and all over the country, there was some great country music, right? And big span of country music, too.
So much good country and Americana this year. But I'm going to throw this back to Robin because he picked this record, which he knows is one of my faves, too.
Sturgill Simpson, I think universally loved across the NPR music team. He's based out of Nashville, but I don't feel like at all a part of the establishment.
He's anti-establishment.
Yeah, he's someone. We did a Tiny Desk concert with him, and he sort of slouched his way into the offices and planted himself on a stool. And he's in jeans, these canvas white canvas tennis shoes and no socks. He's wearing one of two shirts he says he's brought with him on tour. And he's kind of, you know, got sleepy eyes. And he told me as before he played, we were talking, and he said that he wonders if he's ever really going to be accepted in the establishment. You hear his sound. It's a very classic country sound.
I didn't get the impression he wanted to be, but that's another story.
Well, I think he wants to, he would like to have his music respected and understood.
Yeah, he's got that.
Well, you know. He did win Best New Artist at the Americana Music Awards this year, so I think there's a few people who accept him.
Let's listen to a cut from, so he has the record Ann mentioned earlier, Meta Modern Sounds and Country Music. Let's listen to a cut called Life of Sin.
Dirty Bow! Well, things have been a little complicated. Quality life has got me down. Well, sex is cheap and talk is overrated. And the boys and me still working on the sound. Well, a little happiness, a little love is all I wanted. Sure as hell thought I'd found it, but I was wrong. She left my heart feeling taunted, and my memories all haunted. But it's her I have to thank on my song. So every day I'm smoking my brain hazy, all I can do to keep from going crazy. But the paranoia slowly creeping in. Myself silly on the way for this hellbilly, and I thank God for this here life of sin.
Phenomenal guitar player too.
Yep.
And from Estonia.
From Estonia,
and,
right.
And that voice, you know, I think like a lot of fans and music reviewers who dissected this record, I was always searching for all these meanings. Some of the songs seemed very metaphysical, right? And like very high concept. And he said during the Tiny Desk concert, they're all really just about doing drugs and drinking. And he said, but he's enjoyed...
Oh, Sturgill!
But he's enjoyed all the reading all the reviews. Like, what does he really mean?
I guess the metaphysical readings kind of come out of that.
Last year was a lot of women in country. We talked about so many. Did we hear that this year?
Well, yeah. I mean, Angelina Presley was, to me, the other really outstanding kind of hard country record of the year. She's in the Pistol Annies with Miranda Lambert and Ashley Monroe. We've been waiting for a solo album from her for a while. She put it out this summer or this fall. It's called American Middle Class. Like Sturgill Simpson, she comes from a coal miner family. So I think there's an interesting working class thing happening, too, on the Americana edge of country that's pretty exciting.
So I'm Bob Boylan. I'm here with Stephen Thompson, Ann Powers, who's in Alabama, Robin Hilton. We're looking at the year in review. We're just picking highlights here and there over the course of the next bunch of weeks. Lists will come out that NPR Music's sort of looked at, slaved over, argued about, fist-shaken, top 50 album list. We'll do a songs list. There is a big, big, wide song list that you can go through. We'll also do individual lists and... When we went through this, I was amazed, and I'm sure all of us were, at the favorite records we may have had that was completely ignored by the rest of the team. The one that came to mind for me was the Antlers record, which, when I first heard it, I was puzzled, right? It was unlike not the guitar-based sound that we were so used to from the Antlers. And then after about the third listen, it all so clicked for me. Sounds that I thought were... nearly, I'll use the word cheesy, because I wouldn't be the first person who used that phrase for some of the music on that record, turned into absolute beauty. And I fell in love with the Antlers record, listened to it all year long. Let's listen to a little bit of them, and then come back and talk about a favorite record you might have had that everyone else may have ignored, perhaps. Thank you. I think one of the things about the year-end coverage that we do, and you know, maybe you ignored this Antlers record, maybe you didn't, but hopefully it'll help you dig into a record you might not have digged into before.
Well, you made an interesting point, Bob, about it clicked into place for you with the third or fourth listen. How many records do people
give
sit down
chance.
And give that much time to?
Yeah, well, that's really true. But I guess I tend to do that maybe more with artists who I have loved their material in the
you
past.
Trust them.
And I give them a little more benefit of the doubt than I might a new band. Maybe it should flip, and I should do that more with newer bands. But it's really hard because there's so much stuff that comes out, right?
I dearly love this band, but this one wasn't the Antlers record that I wanted. I think I like
you in a room.
I think I need a little more anguish and from them, maybe something less pretty.
I hear that there's this Sun Kill Moon record that you might like.
that's my sweet spot. but you know, there were a number of records this year by some of my favorite artists that just didn't click with me like I thought they would. And I guess in some cases, they're like the Y Oak record, you know, didn't as much. The Tom.
I love that record myself. Actually, yeah. I feel like that's one that people definitely overlooked because it wasn't what people expected. It wasn't a guitar record, and yeah. people right. were disappointed.
Yeah, and the Tom York record. You're not going to find a bigger Radiohead Tom York fan than I am.
I thought the process by which that record came out was fascinating. I went out for a walk. late morning, I went out for a walk, and while I was gone, I was gone for like 45 minutes, and the record came out, and people listened to it, and it was boring, and they forgot about it in the time that I went for a walk. It was like old news, and people were tired of it by the time I got back.
I'm ready for him to try something else. I'm ready for something else.
But you just punished Y Oak for doing that.
I know. I'm saying I'm totally contradicting myself here. But yeah, I wanted. I'm ready for the next amazing idea from Tom York.
It will come. I have faith.
We're going through the year chronologically and picking up points. The Antlers record came out in spring of this year. Looking at the second half of the year, we've done a lot of artists who have put out lots of records over the years. Well, let's do something new. Let's look at artists that we may have either discovered this year or really made their mark. Maybe they put out an EP or two in the past, but this year truly made their mark. And FKA Twigs is one for you.
Well, certainly an artist who's made a huge mark critically this year, the woman born Talia Barnett, who goes by FKA Twigs, a British artist. She makes this incredibly sultry, sexy, really erotic electronic music, working with some of the cutting-edge producers in electronica. But what's at the center of this is her sensibility, her voice, which is very, I mean, it's seductive, but it's also completely conscious, you know. There's a beautiful forthrightness that I believe is part of young women using electronic music to express things that sometimes women have not been able to express in pop quite so frankly and clearly. And I think that happens on this FKA Twigs album, which is called LP1. And the song we're going to hear is 2 Weeks, which is, it's about being in thrall with someone, with a lover. That's what it's about. There's no other way around it. Very beautiful music.
I thought it's a metaphor for man's inhumanity to man. Right.
say you think about it, 'cause you're the only one who resonates that chase mouth open like
record.
It's beautiful, it's dark, it's everything.
It's so creepy and cool. I love this record.
Well, it's a lot of, contemporary R&B is going in this direction, too, really taking from the legacy of people like Aaliyah and Timbaland, using sounds in such interesting ways. And the co-producer on this track, Emile, also worked a lot with Lana Del Rey, who is a controversial figure, but definitely has a sound that's very connected, I think, to this same universe that FKA Twigs is working in.
Did you like that record?
I have such complicated feelings about Lana Del Rey. Like would not be the right way to describe it. I think fascinated, concerned sometimes. I don't know.
I was really concerned about this record.
I'm concerned for her. She does not care about that at all. She doesn't need me, but whatever.
Mr. Hilton, discoveries for this year?
I spend a lot more time this year with singer-songwriters than I have in recent years, and Matt Kivell was one of them. There was a guy named Dylan Shear that I really loved his music this year, but Chris Staples is by far the one that just completely knocked me out. Back in 2009, we had the band Telekinesis in for a Tiny Desk concert, and I didn't realize it at the time, but Chris Staples accompanied Michael Benjamin Lerner in Telekinesis for that Tiny Desk
I
concert.
Didn't know.
Yeah. And Chris Staples has worked in Not a Surf as well. And a couple of years ago, Chris Staples, he self-released a record called American Soft, and nobody heard it. Nobody heard this record. And Michael Benjamin Lerner in Telekinesis and Matthew Cause and Not a Surf took the album to Barsuk and said, "You've got to sign this guy." And they did, and they remastered his album, American Soft. They put it out this year. I think in August it came out. And the song I want to play is one called Dark Side of the Moon.
Wait a minute.
Not the Dark Side of the Moon.
Thanks. Okay.
Dark Side of the Moon.
There's another Dark Side of the Moon.
Yes.
Yeah. It's all gone, I wanna know you.
I cannot tell you how many times I have wept openly to listening to this song as a father and having a son and thinking, you know, as he talks about, I want to tell you the story. I'm just replacing a man who came before me, and one day you're going to see someone replacing me. That's just the way it's got to be. It's always been that way. But the thing that I think is just so universal, whether it's a child or your favorite pet or whatever person is important to you in your life, when he says, as he's singing right here behind us, I want to love you, I want to pass it on, I want to give and give until it's all gone, and know you while we have the time. And it's just so crushingly beautiful to me. And I've listened to this record a lot this year. It's been a close companion. American Soft is the record, and Chris Staples is the singer.
I need to spend some time with that record.
Yeah.
This is just one of many beautiful, beautiful tracks.
I usually ignore stuff that you like, but I actually want to hear that.
Yeah. You might like it.
One of the records I spent the most time with this year is a new artist. Well, new for me. They put out a record a few years back, Le Luc. But this one that came out this year is just it's called Passerby is the name of the album. They're a duo from Australia, though they live in New York for a good chunk of the year, like about half the year, and they go back and forth. They follow the right weather, I think, is the deal. But they make just the most beautiful music. Zoe Randall has a gorgeous, gorgeous voice and tells wonderful stories. And Steve Hassett, the guitar player, just punctuates her phrasing so beautifully, and a really interesting guitar player. I'm going to play a song from that record. Anyone else like that record?
Oh, yeah, I think
I love it.
Yeah.
That's my favorite album of the year.
Yeah. We may have the same top list.
Yeah. This will be your number one when you make your top 10?
I think so. And Bob, the problem is Bob co-hosts this show, and so he gets to snake, you know, his first picks. So I'm just sitting here just boiling with resentment.
boiling.
Well, that's how I feel about you, Stephen, taking the Beyonce away from me. Come on.
But this Le Luc record is just, it is just gorgeous.
Let's have a massive fist fight while we listen to Small Windows.
Fight Club.
Flying over Chicago, bare trees line the white snow. Daylight fades and lines of cars fly across the night in red and gold. What a view from my small window. What a view from my small window.
The soundtrack to Fight Club. I can see someone splitting someone's head open to this.
Call David Fincher now. It's his next movie.
Le Luc, the Fight Club.
God, you just ruined everything.
But, you know, Bob, I discovered this band when they played on a Nick Drake tribute album a couple years ago. I guess it was last year.
That
it came
Joe Boyd produced, the producer who helped bring Nick Drake to the fold back in the 70s, yeah.
Totally.
This is just a perfect Sunday morning kitchen record.
Oh, good. Let's listen to more. Did a house concert with these guys this year, too. It was quite brilliant. And I played a Tiny Desk concert. Quiet music, I think, I found more of this year than any year previous. Rodrigo Amarante record was a record I found really beautiful, too.
It's almost as if we're all aging really rapidly.
You never catch up to me.
Speak for yourself.
Oh, you're
I
supposed
liked
to say
it loud
that.
And young this year.
Yeah, no, there were great loud records this year, but I don't know why. The ones I've put on more often were quieter.
Yeah.
Louder shows, live shows for me, but the home records were quieter. Stephen Thompson, you had a discovery this year?
Yeah, I wanted to talk about a band called Luluk. but then was told I had to come up with something else. No, there were a bunch to choose from. A lot of either new or new to me or new-ish to me records. I'd love to talk about Haley Bonner. I'd love to talk about Mimicking Birds. We've already talked about Sylvanesso and Luluk. But the one I picked is just a really fun pop rock band from Toronto called Always. And Always is spelled, the W is two V's.
Yeah,
so I've been thinking... It's
like Yiddish.
It just scans in my head as Always, but the
Sounds
the
Yiddish.
Band is called Always. Just a very kind of best coasty, you know, kind of fizzy, fun, beachy, summer pop record. And there can never be enough of those. The song is called Archie, Marry Me.
I keep thinking, hey, hey, Paula.
Oh my gosh. Stephen, I have to say, that is the most Stephen Thompson band I've ever heard.
That's a great name for a band, the most Stephen Thompson band.
I'm picturing that on a sticker on the CD jewel case. The most Stephen Thompson band you'll hear all year.
I don't know. They need a cellist from Portland. But no, it's just a charm offensive, and nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. No, I love this song, and this is a great record.
The band is Always from Toronto. They're a fun life band as well. We're heading to the fourth quarter of this year, which would be the last quarter.
I made it through part of the year.
And that's what I learned. And Run the Jewels is a record that will probably wind up being on just about everybody's top something list, right?
Absolutely. And you know, this was an interesting year for hip-hop, and I encourage everyone to check out our coverage with the Microphone Check crew. They'll have a lot of their own lists, and I'm sure it will be authoritative. But my observations of the hip-hop world is that there's a lot of fascinating, young, weird stuff happening. There's a lot of weird, fascinating stuff coming out of Atlanta. There's the L.A. rapper YG, who works with the producer DJ Mustard. A lot of things bubbling up but not solidifying into great albums necessarily, especially from veterans. We did have the Outkast reunion, maybe the story of the year in hip-hop, but the best album from established rappers in the game, and it turns out to be maybe the best hip-hop album of the year, and that's Run the Jewels 2, which features LP from Company Flow, rapper and producer, and the great Atlanta rapper Killer Mike. And this is just a 100% fantastic release. The storytelling, the battle rhyming, the beats, the everything about it is just for the ages. So let's hear a little bit of this incredible team of LP and Killer Mike, Run the Jewels 2. And this song, Crown, features both LP and Killer Mike spinning vignettes that are really memorable. It's kind of spooky. It's wonderful. It's called Crown.
Walk traps in the rain with cocaine. Used to write raps in the traps as I sat in the rain, and I prayed that God give me a lane. Give me a lane, give me the fame. Give me the fame and I promise to change. Won't be the same, won't be the same kind of man that puts cocaine in this lady hang. Heard she was pregnant, I'm guilty, I reckon, cause I hear that this shit could hurt baby's brain. Heard he was normal till 3 and then he stopped talking. Since then ain't nothing been the same. Seen her some years later out in Decatur. Told her that I'm sorry for causing her pain. Causing me pain, causing me pain. She asked again and she grabbed my right hand. Asked him I'm crazy, said look here baby, I release you from all of your sins and your shame. Cause I've been redeemed, I found the Christ. Whatever it take, I hope you find it, Mike. The look on her face, on that glory, replaced all the shame and the hate, and that she wear a crown. My late grandma Betty had prayed with a heaven and told her to tell me lay my burdens down. Can't pick up no crown, holding what's holding you down. Can't pick up no crown, holding what's holding you down. Can't pick up no crown, can't pick up no crown.
Lots of sonic pleasures beyond the great words, right?
Going on. Absolutely. If you could just fall into this record for months, I think.
This cut also has Diane Coffey is featured on this cut, if you can believe it, Bob.
What is Diane Coffey doing on this cut?
I'm not sure if it's the sweet harmonies you heard there in the background, or maybe some of the guitar.
One of last South by Southwest, one of my favorite performances.
Yeah, Diane Coffey is. It's Sean Fleming. He was the drummer for Foxygen.
Yeah, Par Iggy Pop and David Johansen.
Yeah.
Fabulous.
We've got also got a great interview with Killer Mike on the NPR Music site right now. Definitely worth checking out.
He's one of the artists of the year, I think, for his music and for his really smart, very feelingful responses to political events of the year. We can look to Killer Mike. He just someone I'm so glad is out there, you know, active at this time.
One of the bands I saw earlier this year, texturally sort of similar, but politically probably fairly different. They're from Liberia and Nigeria, and they're Scottish. It's a hip-hop and sort of psychedelic group called Young Fathers. They beat out FKA Twigs, in fact, for the Mercury Prize. One of the people who are.
But I'm so
Mercury
glad
Prize.
You picked this. I'm so glad you picked this, Bob. I love this record.
I was looking through and thinking what song to play off of the album Dead, and discovered a brand new song that's not on that album. So why don't we play a new song in our year-end wrap-up by Young Fathers? It's called Soon Come Soon.
Hold on, beholder. Hold on, beholder. Hold on, beholder. The handle's broken. Come get your beating. Did I not feed you? You're my boy, and your God is evil. Point blank. Gas for air when there's two in here. Solidate to torture. Join me, comrade. Dinner with dogs and kissing fat cats. Scraps and all for the cunning rats. Drawing blood and have a drink. Take a minute.
up. Say, 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 batter up, batter up. Hey, 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 having enough is not enough to say. Choice is not a luxury, on this occasion definitely.
Honestly, it is.
Green grasses and green grasses and green pastures. Sandcastles, full throttle, subtle, subtle. Paper rubbles inside the grotto, mumble a cuss. Say, stop all the dancing, nothing worth liking. Lower than a...
Is anyone else reminded of Weapon of Choice, Fatboy Slim? There's a sample that they were using in the background that I think was also in that song. It even has some of the same sort of rhythm. That is that.
Young Fathers is a group. I'd imagine they'll be back in the States sometime spring-like, maybe. We'll see. Good music. We're at the tail end of the year. We're looking at our year-end wrap-up. Lots of lists coming out and so forth. Stephen, what do you have?
Well, so at the top of the show, I mentioned that the Beyoncé record was kind of the pop juggernaut of 2014, even though it came out in 2013. The pop juggernaut of 2015 is going to be Taylor Swift's 1989, which has already been out for a month or so as of this recording, but is a record we're going to be hearing endlessly.
I'm making a calendar event right now. Ask Stephen if...
Yeah, this record is not going anywhere. It's probably about eight hits deep, and I've found several of them incredibly charming. Let's hear a little bit of Blank Space.
Nice to meet you, where you been? I could show you incredible things. Magic, madness, heaven, sin. Saw you there and I thought, oh my God, look at that face. You look like my next mistake. Love's a game, wanna play. Can make the bad guys good for a weekend. So it's gonna be forever, or it's gonna go down in flames. You can tell me when it's over, if the high was worth the pain. Got a long list of ex-lovers, they'll tell you I'm insane. Cause you know I love the players, and you love the game. Cause we're young and we're reckless, we'll take this way too far. It'll leave you breathless. And I'll write your name.
I thought Bob had just switched it off there for a second.
That's a nice moment, Ducks. I like that. I like that moment where things dropped out.
I like bringing this sort of thing in just to make you haters sit and have to listen to it. I mean, Taylor Swift has undergone this, you know, this pretty remarkable transformation. You know, one of the biggest country stars in the world, and is now one of the biggest pop stars in the world. And this, she's certainly leaned in this direction on past records, particularly the most recent one. But this is just a full blown perfectionist pop record of the highest order. I really enjoy this record.
I love it. I mean, I it's one of my records of the year, but that won't surprise anybody, I guess.
Well, you're right.
Yeah, I never really took to Taylor Swift. Well, but you know who I have taken to? Taken quite a liking to this Weezer record. Let's just bring the show full circle back to that phenomenal song we started off with, which was Ain't Got Nobody, for the opening cut to Weezer's record, Everything Will Be All Right in the End. My record of the year, and I'm proud of it. I fell in love with it when I first heard it earlier in this year, before it was out, and I thought, this is going to be my record of the year. And then I decided I must be crazy. Last week I went back and listened to it from start to finish again, and thought, oh yeah, this is definitely my record of the year.
Stephen, he is right.
Absolutely. Barking mad.
What?
I will say there are more sonically interesting records out this year. There are more lyrically mysterious records out this year. But I don't know that there's a record that accomplishes as much as this record did, at least for me. You know, once your fans start writing you off, they're not coming back. It's nearly impossible to get them back. And, you know, so many fans have written Weezer off over the last 15 years. Some of it justified, some of it not. And I think that at least for some of their fans, they did win some of their fans back, at least with this record, Everything Will Be All Right in the End, at least more so than any other record they put out in the last 15 years. It's also, I think, nearly impossible for artists to hit the reset button after they've been doing this as long as Weezer has been doing it, and when the expectations are so high. But I think they did it on this record. They hit the reset button and really found their voice on it. I think it's a record that's partly an apology to their fans. It's partly a kiss-off letter to their fans. And it's partly a remembrance of the way things were, and then also looking forward to the way things can be. And I think a lot of fans and critics assume that Rivers Cuomo, the singer in this band, is not sincere, that his tongue is firmly planted in his cheek with everything that he sings and writes about. And I don't think that's necessarily true. I think a lot of this is really heartfelt. And the song I want to take us out on is a cut called Cleopatra. And it's a song that I think actually hits on a lot of the themes we've been talking about, particularly the relevance of legacy artists, age and art, making music as you get older, and how you hold on to your voice and evolve as time passes. Cleopatra. And, you know, I was thinking, Stephen, I'm just going off here, but I was thinking we were talking about the U2 record mm-hmm. before we came in and did the taping. And I just feel like there's just so much cynicism, I think, with a lot of this music that comes out. People don't even give it a chance. People rip that U2 record apart before they even heard it.
I don't want this free thing.
How dare you give me this record? You know, and I thought, it's not my favorite record of the year, but it is nowhere near as bad as, you know, the legions of writers and critics made it out to be. I just think it's really...
True words.
Yeah, it
True
is
words,
really,
Robin.
Really hard for people to open themselves back up once they've closed the door.
I just saw the Rolling Stone list, and it was the number one record.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I deleted mine, but I didn't get angry about it.
It's like, how hard is it to delete a record from your iTunes library? It was free.
I think we're just going to fire up the controversy.
Yeah, here. All right.
So Robin's going to take us out on Weezer, and we're all going to hug.
I couldn't get anyone else on board as passionately with this record on the team
as
I did.
No, this is a good record.
I honestly need to spend more time with it, I have to admit. And I will totally agree with you that Rivers Cuomo is a sincere person. He is one of the sort of most intensely emotional, earnest people actually that I've ever met in rock. I think he's 100% there in his band.
Yeah, definitely. So I'm happy to be able to deviously close the show out with the song Cleopatra.
Awesome. You want to start playing it? And so we'll have top 50 records, top hundreds and hundreds of songs to play. Steven, Robin, Anne, and myself will put up top lists all in the next couple of weeks.
We grow old.
1 year older, people.
Rock on to 2015.
Thank you, everybody.
Thanks, Bob.
I was going to say Happy New Year, but not yet.
We'll get there.
For NPR Music, it's All Songs Considered. Show me no more Cleopatra.